Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I'm Patrick, and I'm back, as always, with my co-hosts, Allison with an I.
Hey, y'all.
And Allison with a Y.
Hi, everyone.
We are back this week. It's a boring old 201st episode. We had a big old milestone episode last time, and now it's just back to the goddamn grind. We are not reviewing a Hitchcock classic. We are not taking a walk down memory lane. We are talking about a movie that none of us know how to properly pronounce. And I even looked it up today to try and figure it out. But I'm just going to cop to this. I just got lazy. I was having trouble finding the individual pronunciations of the individual words, and I didn't. And then I just stopped. So we're reviewing Para Bettina Pengakut Iblis, which, you know, again, probably mispronounced it, but sorry, Indonesia.
I think that was as close as any of us are going to get.
Yep. Para Bettina Pengakut Iblis is an Indonesian film whose title translates to Female Followers of the Devil, or The Devil's Disciples in English. It primarily follows two young women as they are both manipulated by a malevolent spirit oddly reminiscent of Ralph Fiennes's Voldemort. The spirit first comes to a young woman named Sumi, who dreams of getting away from her demanding father to go find her mother, who disappeared when Sumi was a child. The spirit promises to reunite Sumi with her mother if she makes and sells a stew called Galai, using flesh from her father's recently amputated leg, and from the corpse of a recently deceased woman she dug up from a graveyard named Ningroom. Meanwhile, the demon encourages Ningroom's sister, Sari, to seek out and kill Ningroom's murderer. And we usually like write up a few discussion topics that we want to touch on with each movie. And today, for this movie, which was chosen by the Wheel of Death, I should have mentioned that, the first question I put on the list was, what the fuck was even going on in this movie?
Apt question. I have to say, I don't want to tip my hat to my review, but it's going to be hard not to. I kept pausing this movie to see how much time was left, which I don't do very often. But what was going on? I was like, I don't even know.
And it's a short movie.
It's a short movie. It's about an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it was about an hour and a half too long, in my opinion.
And it's actually an hour and 29 minutes.
Well, there we go. I said what I said.
It's a weird one because, you know, in the course of doing the podcast, we've watched a lot of movies from other countries whose cultures we don't understand, don't have a frame of reference for. And we've watched movies that are just confusing because we don't have cultural context. I think there's some cultural context that I'm missing here, certainly, but I don't think it's anything that would inform just a basic understanding of what the fuck is going on at times. It's just, I think the storytelling just isn't there. You know, occasionally I'll be like drinking when I watch one of these movies and I'm not as attentive as normal. And so, you know, I'll say to Allison with a Y, you know, like, wait, am I understanding this right? And I'll just kind of repeat back to you what we've seen. And in this case, I was stone sober, but still halfway through, I was like, okay. So, and then I just like recited the plot of the movie up to that point. And Allison just like, And I'm like, and I'm not missing anything.
Not that I could tell.
It's just really weirdly incoherent at times. And I had to even like consult some summaries online as I was writing up the little synopsis today to just make sure that I had even understood this correctly. It's just a weird one.
Yeah. And trying to... In the spirit of finding a silver lining, you know, it got into it right away and it wasn't, it never really slowed down.
True.
to the point where you're like, how much more can you put in this? But I think one of the most interesting things about it that was confusing and also like, okay, the bold choice was partway through the movie, basically introducing another protagonist.
Right.
And we're kind of like, who the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. And we follow her more and more. And then you're like, well, what happened to the first one? And she comes back around. But like, that was very confusing. And you know, a bold choice. That's what I'm going to say.
Right. Yeah. And you're referring to Susumi as the first girl who seems to be the protagonist for, I don't know, a half hour or so. And then the second girl, Sari, comes into it. I think right after Sumi exhumes her body, her sister, her dead sister's body to make essentially curry out of it, to make stew out of it.
Exactly.
So did this film open on the scene where her dad needed an amputation? Or did I miss some? Okay, and we don't really get an explanation. I think at one point he uses the word curse, right? Like he tells her that after the leg is amputated, she needs to bury it right away to get rid of the curse. But other than that, we have no idea why he's lost his leg, why his leg was sick. So right away, it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and an interesting detail about that, too, is as I was reading some other summaries of the plot today, it referred to the leg being amputated as the result of an infection, not a curse. So I wonder if there's maybe some translation hang up there, because that happens often too. But I mean, regardless, there are zero other context clues to explain why his leg is fucked up and why it was amputated. Also, funny thing about that scene is that, I mean, he has this disgusting, like, open lesion, like, open sore on his, I think, knee. And the doctor comes in with, like, a fucking Home Depot, like, saw and just saws right
like
through.
Like a handsaw. Like a hacksaw.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, right through the sore. Like, and I was like, wouldn't you want to, like, saw above it instead of, like, leaving part? Disgusting scene, though. I'll give him credit for that. Like, what a note to open this
and
on.
Then, you know, they didn't even bother to cauterize the wound.
Yeah, seriously.
And
oh god, yeah, the views that you get of the amputation site throughout the movie after
horrifying.
That are disgusting.
And Sumi is watching this doctor do it with this grin on her face.
Yeah.
Which you're like, what? Okay, so something is clearly wrong with you. And I think I kept waiting for more explanation that they tried to give in a really disjointed kind of way as to, like, was she just fucked up to begin with, or is she being influenced by some entity or some malevolent spirit? I guess that's what happens, but how did that happen, right? Like,
I don't know. It feels very much like, you know, so this is, and we haven't mentioned, this is part one and there is a part two, but it feels like this is part two and you've been dropped into a story that was already in progress, like very abruptly. It's so odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, as you said, it's like, is there some spirit that's controlling her? And yes, is the answer, but also not at that point. Like, the spirit doesn't show up until after the amputation scene. And
presumably.
When he does, And well, right. Presumably. Well, because, and again, that's another thing that's just, there's zero context for, because he just
appears.
Shows up and starts acting weird.
And you're like, who the fuck is this dude?
And she seems basically unsurprised by his appearance. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so okay, writing a better movie, she was rife to be possessed because she was already fucked up in the head. Like, she already had morbid curiosity in that she was watching her dad get his leg amputated and was literally, like, grinning. Who knows, right? Like, we don't know what her vulnerability was or at what point or what triggered this spirit to attach to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the spirit, I don't know. Did you? So I threw the Voldemort reference in the synopsis. Did you get that off of the spirit as well?
He was so fucking lame. And one of you almost just, why your laugh just sounded like that stupid fucking laugh that he did the entire movie. Don't spit your drink out. Do not spit your drink out. Why?
Oh, they're close.
You sound like it they're too. Close. You just sounded like
oh
it.
Oh my God.
If I had to hear that stupid fucking laugh one more time, I mean, you have to drop that soundbite into this episode because it was, you can't not.
Yeah, it was here's a little. Here's a little of Indonesian Voldemort's laugh. But yeah, he's just got like the pale face. He's got the sort of, I mean, he's not bald. I guess the visual aesthetic is not there, but just like the grin and kind of the way he moves his hands theatrically and the laugh, the little, like little giggles and stuff. It's very Voldemort coded.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Voldemort was such a well-written character, though.
And well-performed. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, okay. So I was watching this movie and I was like, is this supposed to be like camp?
Yeah.
Like, is this intentionally camp? And I can't figure out if that was intentional or not. But it certainly reads as camp.
Yeah.
Everybody is dialed up to an 11 at least, minimum.
Yeah, that's some context that is hard to suss out, like what the intended tone.
You know what I just realized he reminds me of? Paul Rubens in The Lost Boys. He was like a really flamboyant, kind of campy vampire. But I think that his character in The Lost Boys was meant to be written as campy. And I'm not confident that this guy was.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's one of many extremely confusing things in this movie. But I mean, you also have very, very broad performances from everyone. You know, you mentioned Sumi's reaction to her dad's leg being amputated, and that's her vibe the whole movie, is just like kind of like chin lowered, just like kind of like glowering and like creepy grinning at everybody, like she's, you know, Pennywise or something.
She's literally like hunched over, walking around like she's, you know, Quasimodo half the time.
And and I guess here's the thing I'll say. I liked it, but she's performing for the stage. She's performing like to be in on a stage in the biggest fucking arena you've ever seen. Like, it's just such a big, broadly telegraphed performance. And I found it creepy. It was just so disconcertingly broad. And everybody performs that way, really, in this. But I would say she does almost even more so than Indonesian Voldemort.
Yeah, I think Sumi's character was terrifying. I mean, she was a bona fide psychopath. And we don't often get like female leads playing the psychopath. You know what I mean? Mm. Like she, the murder of it all and the cannibalism of it all and then feeding it to other people and this whole time doing it while having this ultimate goal in mind of getting out of town. And in the meantime, I'm like, just fucking go.
Right.
You packed your bag like 3 times. Just go. Just walk away. Go.
Right. And
you
that's
don't have to keep killing people.
And that's something that's never explained, is like, why does she have to cook people? Why does she have to feed people to people? Like, I know Indonesian Voldemort like says she needs to do that, but we don't know why she has to do that.
Yeah, he just wants her to. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, like what's the ante there?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You can just go.
Did you guys find her sympathetic at all, though? I did find her a little sympathetic just because of how fucked up her dad was. And, like, she's trying to start a curry stall, and she, like, goes to talk to, like, the curry king, basically. And he's like, come back when your breasts are fuller, and just, like, sexually harasses her. She was weird and certainly psychopathic and under the influence of a demon, but I did find her sort of sympathetic in that way.
I definitely found her sympathetic, yeah. I mean, her dad was a piece of work. You know, it was very alluded to that he, like, heavily worked her, had her do a lot of his bidding even prior to his leg injury or his leg infection. And, you know, she had been without her mother for a really long time. So clearly there's that grief and trauma. mm-hmm. that's in there. I mean, you know, and I'm having a serious conversation about a not very serious movie. But
or is it?
Yeah, or is right. it? But, you know, looking at it from that standpoint, I'm like, yeah, I probably also wouldn't be super well adjusted myself.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I had empathy for her because she clearly suffered.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think also her mental health took a huge hit because I do think she was kind of psychopathic from whatever happened to her. So
yeah,
the empathy kind of stopped there for me where, you know, she's girding at her dad getting his leg amputated. She's like weirdly aroused when she's watching a goat being flayed.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Like those were the two first moments that we see that she's got this deep, morbid, like, curiosity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My empathy ran out when she started to display some real psychopathic tendencies. But again, I'm like, you have legs and you can leave.
Yeah.
I think I was just frustrated with her and got to a point where I was like, okay, I think you just like murdering people. So...
mm-hmm. It, in a way, it kind of felt like, and this wasn't, and maybe if I was Indonesian, I wouldn't need it to be just spelled out for me. But in a way, it kind of felt a little bit like their version of a possession movie, how somebody goes through like deep trauma and then becomes more susceptible to, you know, demons, which is effectively what this dude was. He was portrayed as a type of demonic entity, an evil entity. Whatever. And I wonder if that's kind of the point of this, is that both of these women had been through a lot, and their grief, their anger, their pain just made them more open to being the victim of a demonic presence.
Yeah.
I think that's a totally fair read. There's no context in the movie exactly. to establish
right.
it. Though,
is right.
The That's what I said. Part. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I know.
Yeah. You're writing a better movie, right? Like,
yeah,
sure. Right. That's their vulnerability, but we just made that up.
Right. Right. It's never spelled out. Like, I think that that's what they were trying to go for, but I think we maybe needed a little bit more explanation for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a way it's frustrating because there's sort of so much being thrown at the wall here. You know, you've got like women undergoing trauma and perhaps being taken advantage of by the demon. You've got this high camp demon, a lot of high camp elements. You've got, you know, basically like Sweeney Todd shit, cooking up bodies and feeding yeah. them to people. You know, at one point a character develops what I described as Doctor Strange powers. We'll talk about that more in the spoiler room, but she's just like doing these weird gestures with her hands and like manipulating things using her mind, basically. There's just a lot going on here. And like, I guess, honestly, a lot of it sort of worked for me in different ways. It was just so haphazardly shoved together and was so lacking in context for where any of it came from, and it just felt like a mashup of multiple movies to me almost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I'll tell you what it didn't lack. What it didn't lack was gore.
No. True.
This yeah. was a fucking gory movie. They did not cut away at any point. Like, it was gory even for me, and I like gore.
Oh, they definitely cut some things away.
That's true.
Like legs from their bodies, heads from their bodies.
Yeah.
A breast intestines from its body.
Intestines from their
point.
Bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kept thinking about Allison with a Y watching this as it relates to the gore. How did you handle that? Because I know you're not big on that stuff.
It was gross, but I think the what I interpreted as the campy tone helped with it.
Yeah.
Because it was just so ridiculous that it was like, I mean, I don't love gore either way, but it was a little easier to take in just because I couldn't take the film seriously.
So it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part for me was watching them eat the stew.
Oh, I've watched enough Hannibal to be
okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think like the close-ups that they did on the food and like the stringy meat and then her feeding it to her dad, I was just like, this is fucking disgusting. Like, my stomach was turning a little bit.
Fair.
As a bit of a gore hound, there was some pretty good gore in this movie.
That's like, what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, there were some pretty good killings. There was one disembowelment that was blatantly CG and it looked kind of like shit. But outside of that, some pretty good sprayy, gloopy, gross stuff.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, the gore factor was there for me, but I will say I think that was the only redeeming thing for me.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Have either of you watched any Indonesian movies before, Indonesian horror movies before?
I don't think so.
I can think of. Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched much myself. I've watched one or two of Joko Anwar's movies, who like is the master of Indonesian horror, widely known. But that's about it for me. That's why I was a little excited to watch this, because I was like, well, there's this extremely renowned horror director in out of Indonesia, and you know, maybe there's kind of a broader horror filmmaking community there. But this movie is not a strong piece of evidence for that line of thought.
No.
Bummer. You know, again, I've never made a movie, so I can't totally say, you know, fuck this movie. But it's better than what I've made, which is nothing.
Yeah. I think the editing is very interesting. You know, it's competently strung together. The writing, the story structure, but it looks cool.
You said competently strung together, and I was like, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Yeah, I think in like the literal editing process.
Yeah.
I think even the acting, there were a couple moments that I cringed like pretty yeah. palpably. Was like, why did you deliver the line that way? Why did you do that with your face?
Pretty much all of Sari's line readings. It's too much.
Yeah. Do less.
Yeah. And the actress is doing like basically the same thing that the Sumi actress is doing, just like the kind of like evil glares. It intensifies over the course of the movie, but by the end, she's very just like evil glaring mm-hmm. everywhere. It's only slightly less over the top than Sumi's. I mean, the dad too is just constantly like, he's always like bugging one eye out. It's just super over the top, like angry, crazy father vibes.
Oh, one knock against the editing, actually, I do have. It's a continuity thing. There was a scene with Sari where it started with her wearing black lipstick, and then like later in the scene, still the same scene though, she's not wearing it anymore. And I was like, this is a pretty easy catch when you're filming something.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was very jarring to me.
Huh. I didn't notice that. Well, do you guys want to see part two? I mean, I got to confess that I do. This ends so abruptly, and we're going to talk about how exactly it ends in the spoiler room. But I'm fucking curious to know what happens here, because that's the other thing. I'm like, maybe it's redeemed by the second part. Maybe this feels more coherent and of a piece when you put the two parts together, which just, you know, make a fucking 3-hour movie if that's what you're doing. But I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Do you have any interest whatsoever in seeing the second part?
No.
Leans into Mike.
Literally leans into Mike. No.
Yeah, I'm with I on this one. I simply cannot.
Well, if I actually follow through on this insane line of thought, I'll report back on the next horror.
Yeah, catch-up. Let us know how that goes.
Yeah,
I'll take your word for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we have anything else to say about this before we go to the spoiler room and explain this whole abrupt cliffhanger ending?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, it's time to rate and review it. Allison with a Y, would you like to start us off? View it, cue it, or screw it?
Big ol' screw it.
Big ol' screw it.
With prejudice?
Oh, yeah. Is it a screw it, fuck it, damn it?
Just give me more context. I need to know why things are happening. Isn't that the point of a story? And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
What do you rate it?
Total screw it. Screw it, fuck it, damn it. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I could not wait for this movie to be over. That villain demon was driving me fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. And he kept popping up. He was too overused. I was like, I'm not, if not even threatened or afraid of you anymore, you're just annoying. Just go away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a lot more notes on my screw it. It's just never again. What about you, Patrick?
I think I got to go screw it too. We've had a lot of unity in the ratings recently. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're going to keep that rolling. Again, there are pieces of this that I like, but they're so discombobulated and again, feel so haphazardly thrown together that it's just a mess of a viewing experience. And it's one of those things where I'm just like, flesh out one of these or two of these things a little more. But yeah, it just feels like you're dropped into the middle of a story. It's like you're reading a book and somebody's like, hey, here's chapter 6, you know, yeah. Have fun, asshole. And yet I want to read chapter 7 now, as I just shared. So I don't know. It's
screw it, but I'm going to keep going.
Right. Yeah. I remain curious because as we all know, I'm nothing if not perversely curious about a number of things in life. And I am perversely curious to see where this goes next, but it is not something that I would recommend to anyone.
Yeah, no. Maybe somebody I didn't like. I'd be like, oh, you like horror? I got a great one for you. You should watch it twice.
So before we open up the spoiler freezer.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Which we didn't mention, all the body parts that are being cooked in this movie are stored in a nice, dirty chest freezer that plays a pivotal role in a few scenes in this movie. But before we go to the spoiler chest freezer, I will remind you, as always, to go to our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. We've got all our episodes out there. We've got a link to our merch store where you can get shirts and cups and stickers with Every Horror Movie on Netflix art on them. And we'd also love for you to come join us on social media.
You can find us on Facebook, Blue Sky, Instagram, YouTube at Amoncast, Ehmoncast. And you can also find us on TikTok at Amon Podcast.
And we also have a Discord community where you can talk with folks from all over the world about the podcast, the movies we watch for the podcast, and whatever other horror stuff you are enjoying in your life. There's a link to that in the show notes. And lastly, follow us and review us on your podcast provider of choice. We love to see those reviews. We love the feedback, and it helps people find the show. We haven't had a review in so goddamn long, so like, get off your asses. Go leave us a review, because, yeah, we love that. We love that stuff. All right. You guys ready to go dig some hash browns, some body parts, some spoilers out of the freezer?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's go. We'll be right back. All right, we have popped open the spoiler freezer. We dug out this amputated leg. We dug out this this full-ass corpse that has had a breast and a heart, I think, right? Didn't she cut a heart out of that girl's body? Yeah, that's been removed. We got all the body parts out of the freezer, and all that's left in here is spoilers. Allison with an I, you said something funny over the break as you were looking at the notes that we made on the spoilers.
Yeah, Patrick makes these nice notes for the spoiler room of things that we don't want to miss. And I said to them, even while reading the synopsis of the spoiler room notes, this is a fucking mess. And you've got it totally laid out here, fact by fact, and it makes no sense.
It is so fucking confusing. But let's attempt to break it down. So, I mean, pivotal to kind of everyone's stories in this movie is a sex worker in the village named Champaka. And Sari finds a bangle that belonged to Champaka, which leads her to go talk to Champaka and start figuring out some of what's going on. Champaka is the mother of this kid named Buras, I think, young man who has some form of cognitive impairment. Which, I don't know, that also was a little...
That was weird.
That was weird, yeah.
I didn't like that.
The portrayal was borderline offensive.
It really was.
It was like a I Am Sam level performance.
Well,
Sean Penn, you know, I Am Sam level performance of a disabled person.
And she was like abusing him, which was not cool.
No.
Yeah, too much going on there.
Yeah. And he shows up like a couple of times just at the periphery of things and then is brutally murdered.
Yeah. We don't see the murder, but we see the aftermath and it's really horrifying.
Yeah. He's like tied up by his wrists in his home and he's just covered in blood.
Yeah.
And after this murder, the doctor who we talked about that like saws off Sumi's dad's leg at the beginning confesses to Sari, and this was another thing. Maybe y'all picked up context that I didn't. I didn't really understand why he decided to confess to her, other than that the plot needed him to at that point. But he confesses that he had a sexual relationship with her sister. The sister Ningrum got pregnant, and then the doctor manipulated Boras, the disabled guy, into killing Ningrum.
Yes.
Which, the explanation of how he did that was also pretty fucking offensive.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, this disabled kid will do, like, whatever he sees people do, and so I, like, showed him how to kill, basically, and, like, talked him into doing it. It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
And then he kills Boras, right?
Yes. Yeah. The doctor's the one who kills him.
Yeah.
This whole scene was crazy weird to me.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, understatement, right? But Sari cons the doctor into letting him into her home where he and his wife are having dinner. And the wife immediately doesn't like her. She calls her a whore. Like, the vibes are not good. Mm-hmm. And then Sari flips the script and becomes this, I don't even fucking know, mega witch. Like,
yeah.
With all these mystical powers.
Yeah, she becomes Doctor Strange. She, like, starts, like, you know, like, again, doing the evil stare and, like, kind of like making these weird hand movements where she like you know, basically like telekinesis levitates the doctor and starts contorting his body using her hands.
Yeah.
And makes his wife kill herself with a knife. And I guess so, I think the doctor is confessing to her because she's threatening him, or she's like inflicting bodily harm on him, right? With her with her telekinetic powers. I think.
But frankly, okay, but why does she even know to go to extract a confession from him in the first place?
Right.
Like, yeah, him being
there's
this
no explanation.
Yeah, him being this villain and murderer just came out of nowhere. And I mean, that's fine from a normal plot level that he's been evil in the background, but her figuring out that he was evil, I didn't understand how she got there.
Yeah, there was no detective work to like get to that point. Where
right.
She's able to figure it out. We just find out.
Right. It's all wildly confusing and just out of left field. I mean, like, okay, so she has fucking Scarlet Witch powers because the, you know, Voldemort gave them to her. Fine, I guess. But that's me inferring that. That's
right.
Not explicitly stated. It came out of nowhere. And then she disemboweled him. That was the CG disembowelment that I referred to before. And then he's done for. And in the meantime, Sumi keeps getting even crazier than she's been the whole movie. She kills her friend. She keeps her father, whose name is Carto. I don't know if we've said that yet. She keeps her father captive, which I don't know. Again, this is a thing where I just had mixed emotions about it. Because I'm like, Carto seemed like an asshole, you know? And so I didn't really know how to feel about all that, frankly, because I'm like, I mean, this guy kind of deserves some kind of revenge being taken upon him. But also, like, Sumi is just so blatantly crazy and kind of out of control that it's, I don't know. I didn't even know how to feel about that.
Right. But also at this point, like, Sumi doesn't even know the extent of what he's done.
Right.
Like, yeah, he it sounds like he's been kind of a piece of work towards her, but she doesn't have the full context of what a piece of shit he really is.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like the doctor. His evil doings come out of nowhere, too.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that Carto actually killed Sumi's mom because he was having an affair with Chimpaka. And Chimpaka became pregnant, had the disabled child who we knew as Buras.
Yeah.
The Sumi's mom finds out about this and is understandably upset. So then Carto kills her, murders her, and buries her under his bed.
Like in the most shallow grave. The most shallow grave.
Even a foot. Not even a foot.
Yeah.
Of earth over her corpse.
Yeah.
The two storylines of these women were not developed enough. Like they were just they did way too little with them both, especially Sari. And I wanted to like her. Like, she was a badass bitch, right? Like, especially when she had these powers and she was doing all these witchy things, I was like, this is an exciting moment, you know. I want to be bought into this, but I had there was no buy-in for me at all.
Yeah, because it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, like everything that happens feels entirely unearned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going back to even, which we kind of glossed over, but was like maybe the most upsetting thing for me is when Sumi kills her friend. I mean, he stumbled upon the corpse in the freezer, you know, but like he was otherwise a good dude.
Yeah, he seemed cool.
There was nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. It's just my, you know, sense of justice. I did not like that. And it was just like, I don't know, just showed how much of a psychopath she really is.
Yeah.
Hashtag too. Justice for Saber.
Yeah. He was a sweetie. Mm-hmm. That was upsetting.
Yeah.
So then the two of these women finally meet and their story, like the whole movie is supposed to come together, I think, at this point. I think that was the big, bold intention, and it fucking didn't. Like, it was so unsatisfying. But they finally meet.
And at this point, we should say Sumi has killed her dad.
Yes.
And dug up her mom's corpse and kind of had a moment with the mom's corpse.
That skeleton was clearly like...
so fresh.
Well, I was going to say
from
clearly...
Spirit Halloween.
Yes, yeah. Exactly what I was going to say.
It's like bleached white.
It is. I'm like, man, you could even have like a set decorator like paint it a little bit with some dirt.
Yeah, or just even rub it. Some dirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, she's killed him. She's dug up the mom, and then I think she buries him where the mom was buried. Right.
Yeah.
Am I misremembering that?
I think so. She does. Yeah. She throws the body in the tiny hole, the tiny barely there hole.
And then, as you said, we have this meeting. Sari shows up at Sumi's house looking for Ningroom's body because she's put together that where her sister wound up. And then Chimpaka also.
But we also don't know how she figured out where her fucking sister wound up.
Right.
Like everything else, we don't know how they come to these conclusions.
I mean, I guess presumably word would spread that that Sumi is fucking deranged and killing people. This isn't a big town. So by process of elimination, Sari could have maybe deduced, maybe she's the one that, she didn't kill her, but she dug her up.
Mm-hmm. And the three of them come together. Chimpaka, who has not been much of a character in this, other than just being kind of a bit player in other people's backstories, also shows up at the house. And that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Looking for the body of Sumi's dad, who is her estranged lover.
Yeah.
But she's wearing like a weird veil, and she walks in and like in a very like dancey kind of weird way.
Oh, right.
Like,
yes. That was so
weird.
What
was that about?
Yeah, her face is completely covered when she first shows up.
Yeah.
She kind of like sashays into the room. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Which also like, Carto is like freshly dead in this moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does she know he's dead and why is she looking for the body?
We don't know.
Okay, great. Great.
Great question.
This is just another one of those moments where I keep going, okay, like, maybe I was tuned out, maybe I forgot something, and then I, like, check with the two other people that I've gone through this experience with, and y'all are like, yeah, we don't fucking know.
Man, I'd like to think if I had, I don't know what the budget was for this movie. I can't imagine it was much, but it was definitely more money than I have. And I like to think if I had access to that kind of money to make a movie, I wouldn't choose to make this. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they got too deep into it and they're like, fuck it, we got to just finish this piece of shit. But
yeah. And the next piece of shit.
And make a part two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's something where it was just conceived as a single continuous movie and then they broke it up for some, you know, financial reasons or something to milk more money out of it. I don't know. But it's so puzzling. The ending is so abrupt. And then I think it just literally says to be continued, like it's a TV show or something.
It did. And when that flashed up on the screen, I went, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so curious to see what these women end up doing now. And see, again, this is where I'm like, what does happen next? Like, what do these three women do next? Do they continue to be, maybe they all come together and like defeat the demons somehow? That would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. I feel like that's the best possible place to take this.
Yeah, they better, because anything short of that is just you swung and missed twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I want to, like, try and dig into the gender politics of it all because, obviously, it's a movie that's primarily about – I mean, yeah, the protagonists are all women. And I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. What does it have to say about women in Indonesian society? I don't fucking know.
Nothing good from what I can tell so far.
Yeah, not really. And why even waste time making them the protagonists of your movie if you're going to kind of treat them all with – this level of shittiness and disregard. I don't know.
What does it say about men? Somehow this is the men's fault somehow.
I mean, probably because, I mean, actually, I don't know. I should look into this, but I doubt this is made by women. Let's look real quick. Yeah. Director, male, writer appears to be the director and another male. So yeah. So yes, blame men.
Blame the men.
This is Men Part 2. All right.
Part 3 coming next.
All right. Well, now that we have attempted to make some sense of all this and made the world's briefest attempt to parse any themes that may be in this movie, which are basically just like male creators doing a terrible job of writing a movie about women. Although, you know what? The last time I said that, G.J. Ekternkamp sent me an email and said, you got it wrong. Let me come on the podcast and tell you how you got the car Road to Revenge wrong. So maybe the writer and director of Parabatina Pengikut Iblis will email us and be like, yo, I'm coming on. We're going to tell our side of the story and we're going to tell you how to fucking pronounce the title too.
That would be incredible.
That would be incredible.
It.
Yeah. We'd probably need a translator, but we'll figure it out. But now that we've made it through that, we have to find out what we're watching next, and it is Allison with an eye's turn to choose a movie. What are we watching next episode?
Next episode, my pick for us is Barbarian.
Oh, okay. We saw this in the theater.
Yeah.
Have you seen this before, I?
I have one time, and okay. I've been dying to watch it again.
Okay.
So this is all going to be our second time watching this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen it, so I'm ready to dig in again. Barbarian is a 2022 film, and the Netflix synopsis they give is: most guests stay for a night in this Airbnb, others stay for a week, and some never leave. The AV Club calls this horror movie absolutely stunning.
Well, I'm looking forward to revisiting this. We'll talk about it next episode. I was a little lukewarm about it when we saw it in the theater, but it was, people fucking loved this movie. Like, it was very well received.
Yeah, I'm really anxious about rewatching it because there's certain things from it that have stayed in my brain and I don't want to see again.
I'm sorry. Not sorry.
It's okay.
All right. Well, next episode, we'll be watching Barbarian. Until then, hit up the website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. Follow us on all the socials except TikTok at Amoncast, E-H-M-O-N-Cast. And on TikTok, you'll find us at Amon Podcast. Follow our Discord group at the link in the show notes. And again, leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. We love seeing that shit. All right. We will see you in 1 week for Barbarian. Until then, for every horror movie on Netflix, I'm Patrick.
I'm Allison with an I.
And I'm Allison with a Y.
See you next time.